18. Notice what it says there. Matthew chapter 18. And we'll look at verses 15 through 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Now, this is something that's supposed to be done. These are the words that Jesus found here. And yet, you know what? Many churches will never discipline any member for anything. Notice what it says here. And remember whose church this is. It's not the pastor's, it's not the people's, it's the Lord's. And it needs to be operated as he sees fit, not as we see fit. Notice what it says. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and let everybody else in the church know about it. No, that's not what it says. Go and tell him his fault between thee and what? Him alone. So that's just a two-way thing. You do me wrong, I'm supposed to go to you. We're supposed to get that thing settled. Right? That's right. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So if there's reconciliation made, then it needs to go no further. Nothing further needs to be said. Is that right? Everything has been taken care of. Now notice. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now, when that brother first offends thee, you're supposed to go to him alone. You don't need to tell the pastor. He's not involved unless he's the one. That's something you need to take care of. And that's something I've been saying for many years now. I'm not getting involved in it. You don't need to tell me. If you got a problem with them, you go to them. Leave me out of it. But now if things don't get taken care of, then what happens? Then you take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if you can't reconcile one-on-one, then you take what? Two or three. And then when they get together with those two people and you guys talk things out and these witnesses are there and they make a judgment, don't they? And hopefully things get reconciled then. Correct? But what if he neglects to hear them? Then we up the game once again. You tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, then he gets the boot. Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a what? Publican. Now that's Bible. You know, you put this into practice, there are always those who will say, you know what, that's unchristian. No, it's not. It's Christian. Because it's in the Word of God. You know, it's unchristian not to practice church discipline. It's unchristian not to reconcile one brother with another. That's what's unchristian. It's unchristian to leave these problems unsolved. This is how most Christians handle their problem with someone today. They get up and leave. They don't address the problem. They just leave the church. And then you know what happens? They go to another church. And you know what? Even though the faces are changed, there's always someone with the same type of personality or the same type of offense that they come across to. And when it happens again, you know what they do? They just leave and go to another church. Instead of addressing the issue. That's wrong. Now, Paul in this passage, verses 19 through 21 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, is discussing the disciplining of church leaders. Now, it's sad when a church member must be disciplined, but it's even sadder when a spiritual leader fails and must be disciplined. For leaders, when they fall, have a way of affecting so many other people. Now, the purpose of discipline is what? It's retribution. No. It's reconciliation. You know, it's restoring one. Now, our purpose must be to save the offender, not drive them away. Now, we've had to discipline some folks here over the years. And I'm glad to say that 3 out of the 4 we disciplined got right. Now, that's a wonderful thing. That's the way it's supposed to work. But you know what? It would have been better if it was 4 or 4. But some don't want to hear what the Lord has to say and how they ought to behave. Now, Paul's first caution to Timothy was to be sure of the facts. And the way to do that is to have witnesses. Look at verses 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Notice what Paul writes here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. So, you know what? You need to establish the facts. Now, this same principle is stated for us in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Notice what it says there, Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Here we read, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. If any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of 2 witnesses or at the mouth of 3 witnesses, shall the matter be what? Established. Now, I think a dual application of this principle is suggested here. First, those who make an accusation against a pastor needs to support it with witnesses. Then secondly, when an accusation is made, witnesses need to be present. In other words, the accuser has a right to face, the accused has the right to face his accuser in the presence of those who are accusing him, the witnesses. He has a right for that. Now, it's sad when churches disobey the word and listen to rumors, lies, and gossip. You say, has that ever happened? More than you care to know. I wonder how many pastors' reputations have been ruined because of some slanderous tongue, some gossip that was spreading false rumors. I wonder how many ministries have been ruined because somebody opened their mouth and said things that were not true, had no witnesses to back it up, and yet people believed what they said. Here's the thing. People can do that in a church, and once the word is out, they'll believe that gossip or that slander. They won't even tell the pastor, and they just believe they know that he did it. He doesn't even know what's going on. He may not even be guilty. And yet everybody seems to turn tail on him and abandon the church. Quite shameful, is it not? I remember going to college with a friend of mine, worked on the bus route with him. And when I was between churches, this church called me up and was talking to me about coming and replacing him. Well, I already knew what happened over at that church. I remember some 15-year-old, the music leader's niece, made an accusation against him, almost ruined his family, almost ruined his ministry. Oh, it was proven to be false, but the damage was done. It took about a year in court and everything else, but the church's name was mud, and he moved on. They wanted me to come in and pastor after that. And I said, there's no way I'd want to go there. Not going to do it. I mean, how sad is that? Listen, you know, we hear this phrase, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And you know what? That's a good slogan for maybe the fire department, but it should not apply to local churches. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire could possibly mean that someone in the congregation's tongue is set on the fire of hell. Paul's second caution was that Timothy do everything openly and above board. You know, that's one thing I like about pastoring here. Everything's done above board. Amen? All out in the open. You know, you say, preacher, you know what? I noticed that you put in glass doors years ago. You say, why'd you do that? Because I want everything done above board. I want to be able to people see me back there. And especially if I'm counseling somebody, they can say, oh, man, he's busy. Oh, man, you know what? He's not up to anything deceitful. You say, well, why don't you have a computer back there? There's two reasons. I don't like them. I really don't have a whole lot of use for them. And number two, what if I'm not here? Someone else comes in, and they're looking at all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And then guess what happens? Some nosy church member gets on there and does a history search. And says, oh, look what the pastor been looking at. I don't want that on my plate. You say, certainly that wouldn't happen. You never know what's going to happen. I need to protect myself. I need to protect my marriage. I need to protect my family. And I need to protect this ministry. Everything's done above board. You know, I've heard of pastors, and I've known a few of them, that don't have business meetings. Won't have them. And I asked them, why don't you have them? It's none of their business. I said, really? It's none of their business? I said, don't they give? Shouldn't they be aware of where the expenditures are, what's coming in? Why wouldn't you have a business meeting unless you're not doing something that's legit? And besides, you know, as a pastor, I don't want to be handling the money. You say, why is that? What if I handled the money, did all the books? Don't you think someone's going to question that? He makes a deposit, he writes the checks, he does the books. It doesn't sound right, does it? Hey, listen. What if somebody all on their own was the counter? What if that counter happened to be me? No, I trust myself. But not everybody would. Some would have red flags. And by the way, they should. Everybody's susceptible to sin. But listen, things need to be above board. This under-the-counter politics of City Hall has no place in the church. There should be no fraud. Everything should be accounted for. Jesus said, in secret, have I said nothing? If an officer is guilty, then he should be rebuked before all. Isn't that what verse 20 says? Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may what? Fear. Suppose there's somebody on a staff at a church. They did wrong. So what are we supposed to do? What is the pastor supposed to do? I know. Ship them off to another ministry and sweep the whole thing under the rug. You know how often that happens? Plenty. Hey, if something was done illegally by that person, the police need to be called. They need to be rebuked. The church needs to know. And if it was something that was a crime, they need to go to jail. Is the church supposed to forgive him if he repents? Sure he is. What's the end goal? Restoration. Once he's forgiven, the matter should be settled. And it doesn't need to be brought up again. Then Paul's third caution is found in verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, Timothy was to obey the word despite personal feelings that he might have. He should act without prejudice against or partiality for the accused officer. Let me say this. There's no seniority rights in the church. None whatsoever. Longevity doesn't give you privilege. Doesn't make you special. You are just like everyone else in the congregation. To show either prejudice or partiality is simply to make the situation worse. You know, when I first got here, I was not all that, I guess, some areas I wasn't all that wise in. I remember some people getting mad and leaving. You say, what'd you do, preacher? Well, I went and visited them. And you know what? After about a year or two of that nonsense, I said, I ain't doing that no more. Why should I? You know, even if I get them to come back, all I did was empower those fools. Now they think they're special. Now they think I owe them something. I said, no way, Jose. Not doing that ever again. Won't do it. If they leave, they leave. God bless them. But don't expect me to knock on your door begging you to return. It won't happen. I'd rather go after the lost sheep instead of the angry sheep. Then notice it talks about selecting and ordaining the elders in verses 22 through 25. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself what? Who's supposed to keep your... Am I responsible to keep you pure? Is God responsible to keep you pure? No, you are! I remember some lady cutting on me, she says, you know, God hadn't delivered me from this sin, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, did he start you in that sin? No. Oh! So he didn't get you to start, and you're expecting him to cause you to quit. I said, why don't you quit it yourself? My Bible says keep yourself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So here we see the preacher can get a little wine, you know, to help him out when he's going through a troubled, stressful time, you know, ease some of that stress, you know, pour a little booze in a cup. Is that what it's talking about? No. Now, some preachers don't have a problem with that. But that's talking about what? Grape juice. You know, back in those days, you got to remember, they didn't have water filtration systems. And if you would, You know, it's like us going down to Mexico. You know, drink their water down there and see how good it'll go for you. You'll get ill. Well, Timothy was getting ill. He came from a different area. And he's going there. The water had all kinds of stuff in there that the people there were used to, but he wasn't used to. And so Paul's saying, you know what? Stop with the water. Drink some grape juice. Get that stomach back in order. And thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men, they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now, only God knows the hearts of man. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I know their heart? I just look at them and I think, what a fool. Now, the church should have spiritual wisdom. They need guidance in selecting its officers. And folks, if they don't line up with the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, they should not be put into that position. It's dangerous to impulsively place a newer Christian or a new church member in a place of spiritual responsibility. You know, if someone got saved and 6 months later, you say, oh man, we'd sure like you to be pastor of our church. How much wisdom do you think the church has? Little or none. They're novices. Are you put somebody in place because you like their personality? You like the way that they're, the music that they're going to bring into the church or whatever else it is. They need to be qualified to be a pastor or a deacon. They need to be watched to make sure there's nothing seriously wrong in their life. I've had people come in here and they tell me they're a deacon in their last church and they expect me to make a deacon here. It's not going to happen. I need to watch them. I need to make sure they're qualified. God bless them, they were a deacon elsewhere. Doesn't make them qualified. That office isn't transferable. And by the way, when a pastor is being candidated, you know what? You ought to ask their previous church, what was that guy like? You know, so many pastors are hired and they're not even screened. Nobody does a background check on them. You ought to be very diligent in your background before you allow somebody to pastor a church. And to ordain elders with sin in their lives is to be a partaker of those sins. Listen. If we say goodbye to the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons who are anti-Christ, and you know we become partaker of their evil deeds, what do you think happens when we're guilty if we ordain people whose lives are not right with the Lord? You say, what are you talking about? Turn, if you would, to 2 John chapter 10 and 11. 2 John chapter 10. And 11. Here's one of these other verses, or two verses, where people think this would be the unchristian thing to do. You know, it really bothers me that these so-called believers talk about being unchristian. They don't even know what the scriptures teach. Notice what it says in verse 10 and 11 of 2 John. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, meaning he's God, receive him not into your house. How many believers welcome them people into their homes? Neither bid him what? Godspeed, or tell him goodbye. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of what? Now, is that what we're supposed to do? Yes. You say, well, that doesn't sound very Christian. It's very Christian. No pastor or church member, however, is perfect. But that should not hinder us from striving for perfection. The ministry of the local church rises and falls upon its leadership. Godly leadership means God's blessings. And that's certainly what we want, and it's certainly what we need. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Next week we'll look at... No, we're having a...